Yeah, we do have some sports to talk about.
By the way, can I bring in a welding torch and maybe fix this thing at some point? Duct tape.
Super glue.
We've been on 2 months of this where I leave here, I get my left arm, I got to have rotator cuff surgery on my left shoulder from holding this thing.
Clearly Mark's in charge of the seating chair because my cord's like 2 inches long.
Look at that. Nice
well,
work.
Well, here, I'd gladly trade you for
no, that's fine.
The spastic
it's yours.
Headphones.
Okay. Now, all right, are you okay now?
I had to,
you ready to go?
I had to vent.
Okay, you heard the music. That
we'll
means we're rolling.
We're rolling.
We're going. All right. Now, it's just the old gang's back. Steve Clausen, Kerry Dozier, Mark Cordes. A few celebrities in the house, which we may pull in or not pull in. We'll see depending on how they behave over the course of the show. So thanks, everybody, for joining in. Again, we're down at Marley's, and we thank Marley's for sponsoring us. And we are downtown back in the Cotton Club, which is very unusual. If you haven't been to the Cotton Club, how would you describe this?
It's white.
It's very white strip joint. Yeah. Yeah, it is kind of like a strip joint. It smells like, not that I would know, but it smells funny.
And they got a pole in the middle of it, too.
Yeah, they do. That's
it seems like
the greatest.
Sly and the Family Stone should be playing in the corner or something. It's kind of
retro.
Yeah.
It is very retro. It's cool. Be a cool place to have a little party, Wouldn't it be a good place to have a party?
When that story about Rick Pitino came out about him getting in the booth, this is kind of the place I pictured.
Oh, one of those
darker
booths.
And a little fuzzier, but this
no,
is
that's
the
more
decor.
Of a Durant sort of thing,
oh,
I think.
We
didn't
have a TMZ photographer.
I don't mean Durant's. I mean the, you know, wow.
Speaking of which, there's your TMZ photographer.
Whoa.
Hey, come on in. Oh, yes,
wow.
We're being filmed here as we speak, so we'll deal with that later. Now, Mark, you got a question for us?
Question of the
Your
week.
Your questions have been very, very popular.
Have they been?
I don't know if our answers have been that popular. But
Have people voiced their opinions?
Yes, lots of them. People are emailing in, and you could do that at grantwoods.com. Check us
and
out.
And you know what? Maybe because my fertile mind at some point is going to dry up.
Oh, yeah.
Much like the Salt River. So maybe if someone has a fun question that they think would be a good question of the week,
they could send it in to us. Please do.
Shoot it
to us on Facebook or at grantwoods.com.
You trying to say you don't have one?
Okay. No, I got one.
Okay.
Okay, here it is. And I'm trying to decide. And because of that little smart-ass comment. You're leading off with this question.
Good.
Lead off hitter.
We're going to go counterclockwise, which, by the way, have you ever, in this digital age, you ever tell kids counterclockwise and they look at you like they have no idea what you're talking about?
Never
My
seen
husband
one of
doesn't
those.
Have any idea.
I've never seen a clock work. Okay, here's the question.
Okay.
If you could go back in time, step in a little time machine, and go back and talk to a younger you.
Oh, God, yeah.
What's the one thing, that one piece of advice you'd give yourself?
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
This is deep. You know what I would do? I would go back to college, and I would tell myself that before I got a real job and grew up, to go to Europe for like a year. I tell every college kid to do that, and I didn't do it myself because I got a job, so it was like kind of too good to pass up.
I like that. Because I know people that have done that, and they look back on it fondly as, God, that was great. I'm glad I did that.
Yeah, absolutely.
When I think I would have made different just life decisions maybe.
Right. But then you wouldn't have wound up here.
Yeah, so like I said, I would definitely. Maybe I should go back earlier.
Yeah, I didn't say college. You could have gone back when you were three.
No, everything was pretty good up until then. And not that it was bad. It just, I think I would have a different outlook. I would have done a lot more stuff.
Now, here's a tricky question. Would you have listened to you?
Shit, I don't know. I don't listen to anybody.
I know, that's the point. That's the little
I have eight older brothers and sisters who all gave me that advice. I didn't listen to one of them.
Did they give you that advice?
Yep.
They did.
Every one
See,
of them
nobody
said that.
Gave me that advice. We had never been out of, I think we'd been to Texas, New Mexico, Arizona, and California. Other than that, no place. So the idea to go to Europe.
That's some scope right there. That's a lot of
Europe.
Different.
Yeah, where is that? Yeah.
Ain't
that wasn't an option.
Over there?
Yeah, not an option. Never dreamed of that, never thought of that.
That's fine. All right, Steve?
I would go back and tell myself, advise myself against a career decision I made. And it's, I don't regret what I've done in life because I've had a great time and I wouldn't be here today if it weren't for the decision. But I would go back to the early 90s and not give up my job at Southwest Airlines at the same time I was doing broadcasting.
Why did you do that? I remember when you did that.
You know, it came after the Rodney King riots, and you know, I'd spent the 4 days in South Central, and I had a great time. And I'd always had a desire to try and make it in a bigger market.
Right.
And you know, I guess I made a little bit of a mark here. But, yeah, I mean, it was a great job, and I had the best of both worlds in some ways. Because I used to make the joke I was either on the air or in the air 7 days a week. And if I'd stayed with Air Herb, I'd be a lot further ahead in life.
Well, let me ask you, I'm confused by the you spent 4 days at the Rodney King riots.
Yeah.
Were you reporting on that or, like, heaving rocks?
I was heaving rocks.
He was protecting the Popeyes.
Yeah.
Were you riding shotgun with Reginald Denny?
No, but I went to Florence and Normandy. And truthfully, I
is it
going,
true? That, seriously, I think it is true, isn't it, that the Popeyes was not touched in that neighborhood that was burned
that
there?
It's not nice at all.
No. That was true. It was like hands off. This is one thing we're not going to do.
No.
I don't know if there was a Popeyes that was saved. It's possible. But what was amazing is there was one neighborhood that I went through, and in the morning it was okay, and then in the afternoon it had already been torched. And I still, to this day, there are so many images
Did you ever ask those guys just to get back at the man? Why don't you, like, go over to Beverly Hills and loot that place rather than your own house, your own neighborhood?
Well, and that's the thing.
A little clue, you know.
You never want to buy an NFL team.
I'm just saying. There's no common sense.
But I was getting to the point.
We're really going to show those guys. Let's just wreck our own neighborhood. They don't really care.
Light them up. But I still remember interviewing this woman. She owned a shoe store with her husband and got torched. And we're standing in the middle of this, you know, smoldering building and things like this. And she was in tears. Going, I can't believe we're doing this to our own neighborhood.
Exactly.
And some of the images
should be the mayor.
That came out from that will live with me for the rest of my life. So, you know, I mean, it really was one of the – it was a changing experience.
And so after that, you just said what? I don't want to be a you were called.
No, I was
a male,
only part-time at the radio station at the time.
What were you called?
Flight attendant.
Oh, I'm sorry.
F.A., flight attendant. And I was only working full-time at the radio station, working full-time, and they offered me a pretty good deal to join.
F.A. what? Come on.
What's in the code?
No, I don't know what you said. I never heard that.
Really,
F.A. is short for flight attendant.
Okay.
They respond to that much better than drink ho.
But, you know, I mean, Herb Kelleher is one of the greatest CEOs of all time. He's retired now. I think he's still half in the bag there on the Wild Turkey, but great guy. Excellent company.
Yep. That's cool. Good to know. Grant?
Mark?
No.
Darn it. Slide right over that.
I think I'd miss that.
If I had to pick, I would probably advise myself not to jump into marriage when I did.
The first time,
yes. That was, that probably didn't make a lot of sense in retrospect, you know. Not just looking at the result, but made no sense. And yet, it wasn't like, you know, these things are, you know, people who run off to Vegas and get married and then doesn't work out, and that makes a lot more sense than someone who thinks it through, has an engagement period, has a wedding. What the hell? It's like a long period of time and at no point in time, 24/7 for months, does the light bulb go on like, what are you doing? Dumbass.
Did anyone say, what are you doing?
Not really.
No friends said,
No. That wasn't one of those where they went, oh, my God, are you kidding me?
That's very tricky, though.
I was like, 26, 27, something like that. I'm not sure. I was old enough to know better, that's for sure. Yeah, it was just, I got married mainly because I wanted to have kids because I always loved kids, and that was not so smart. I got the kids. That was a good part.
Yeah.
But you can't just do that.
It's tricky when you start talking about, because I also have one of those. Mm-hmm. Well, what the hell was I thinking? But then when you go, boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that. But then
you go, no, you do.
My only son
came
from that.
Of course.
Something good came from that.
Yeah, something good comes. And then there's the rest.
Yeah, exactly.
When it's all said and done, it all works out. It's all fine.
Now, since you can't go back and talk to young Grant Woods, mm-hmm. will you have this conversation with your sons?
I have, and I did learn some things there. For example, I think now I'm not saying this is a disqualifier, okay? But I think if you, I'll just male or female, when you're looking at a potential spouse, I think you should look long and hard at their family and the successes or failures that they've had in marriage, in their own family. And, you know, that's not to say that that's ironclad. I couldn't say it was ironclad, or else I never, you know, I would have said no one should have married me again, you know, because I had the first mistake. But I think if you look at someone, you can see what kind of family they come. Do they value family? Is it a big deal to them? You know, is it a big deal to you? You need to, you can't, in other words, I kind of had the attitude originally, it was more like, well, no matter what's gone on in her past, it's a new day. I'm gonna be part of this, you know, resurrection. And it didn't work out that way. Yes, it was a real folly. Like, no, more like there's a pattern here, because, you know, you look at the father, the mother, the relationships, the long series of failed relationships, and like, oh, that's probably not going to work. So anyway. So I have told them, yeah, it's not ironclad, but you need to look at the families that people are coming. The old doesn't fall far from the tree. You know, that's true.
Yep.
So, okay, your turn.
Mark?
I think I've had more time to think about this, obviously, mm-hmm. than you guys did. I think that I would just tell myself to take bolder chances, to not take the path of least resistance, to do things that maybe, because what's the old line? It's better to have tried something and not been able to pull it off. You know, the only regrets you have, yeah, I didn't regret what I did. I regretted what I didn't do.
Yeah, you didn't try.
And that kind of thing.
That's usually true, yeah.
And, you know, in the whole scheme of things, if you get shot down at something, it's not the end of the world.
Right.
I mean, I love to see these guys that have, they reach the pinnacle of whatever business they're in, then they go bankrupt, they go belly up, and everybody writes them off, and 5 years later, they're back.
They're back. Mm-hmm.
And you go, wow, that's the perseverance of that. There's only a certain amount of people that have that.
Yeah, exactly.
Perseverance that go, you know what?
Never give up.
I did it before. I can do it again.
Right.
People are afraid to fail.
Yep.
And there's nothing wrong with failing.
And I love Arizona so much, I should have resisted the, you know, inertia is a real powerful thing. It's just easy to stay here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And 20 years ago when I should have moved to L.A., and I thought, because I really dislike L.A.,
mm-hmm.
whenever I'm out there for more than like 48 hours.
Right.
Get me the hell out of here.
But it's hard to make it in the entertainment business out of Phoenix.
You know what? It's weird. It's way easier now because a lot of people get out of L.A., but technology and stuff like that has made it easier.
But certainly then.
20 years ago, I should have moved there, and I just hated it so much I didn't. And mm-hmm. I always kind of play that what-if game.
I think even now, though, you know, it helps to be there. I don't care. Not necessarily L.A., but it depends on, you know, what you're talking about. Publishing, you might want to be in New York, and songwriting, you might want to be in Nashville, or you know, movies or television, you want to be in L.A. But I think it helps to be there, just to be around, because human nature being what it is, people, you know, pretty much deal with their friends, or you got to make it convenient, rather than let's haul the guy in from Phoenix.
I've noticed, too, in looking back, I've known guys that were able to create the illusion that they were there, even when they weren't.
Oh, that's much easier now.
Yes. You know, you can just do that. You can just...
So you can do that from anywhere now. Now, we haven't talked about this, but I have a friend who's pushing this, and I promise you I would do this if I didn't still have kids at home. But what he is doing is he doesn't tell his clients. He's a lawyer, and he doesn't go to court, so he's mainly just giving advice and making phone calls and, you know, writing things and all that. And he will go to Paris. He'll go to Rome. He goes wherever he wants to go, and he doesn't tell them that he's there. They don't know, and they don't care. To them, he just adjusts his hours. So he'll, you know, he'll have to do some work at night or early in the morning or whatever it is, depending on what city he's gone to. And when he goes to that city, he doesn't think in his mind, I'm on vacation and I'm going to squeeze in some work. He thinks, I'm at work. And when I go to dinner, I'm in Paris.
Yeah, that's great.
It's not bad.
No.
And nobody knows, and the reality is nobody cares.
Right.
Because you can still get the job done. When I went to Italy this summer, I had a major problem that I needed to solve for a client. I actually was hired while I was over there and had to, it was time sensitive. I had to get the whole thing accomplished while I was in Positano, which is fairly remote. And, well, not then, and or a few days after. And, you know, we closed the deal. I was hiking up the mountain in Cortona, and I had to be there by a certain time for this phone call. That was the only place I got good reception. I mean, if this guy would have known, because this was literally tens of millions of dollars that, you know, if I didn't make it up the hill, because it's straight up. But it all worked, so what do they care, you know? Anyway, yeah. Yeah, entertainment's different. That's good. Can we get Art Haney in to give his views on that? Get over here, Art Haney, former Phoenician, world famous director, and you have. If you think maybe you haven't seen his work in commercials, I bet you have seen it because he in the last year or two he has been the genius behind the GoDaddy commercials.
Only a year.
Oh, that is a genius.
Yeah, and you had.
I mean, gets my attention.
And I remember when
you take that kind of shot from you.
You know what? I got a great email from Art that he was working, and so and it was really kind of overload at this point. He was just killing himself in Vegas, interviewing actresses for the GoDaddy commercial. Right.
That was actually in Los Angeles.
The is that where you're doing it?
Yeah, the first 80 Playmates were in Los Angeles.
Oh, my God.
That is so
he
rough.
Took full advantage of that. How was that?
It sucks.
Yeah, it sounds terrible.
But it's like traveling the world.
Why does that suck? Put that mic right up next to you. You're a director here.
See, I stay behind cameras. Yeah, I don't like cameras and mics in front of me.
So why does that suck to interview 80 Playmates? I don't get that.
Because in order to get yourself in a position where you can get hired again, you actually have to, like, pay attention. You can't, like, check girls' asses.
You can't sexually harass them or anything either.
Well, that doesn't take
all
day.
Well, you can, but you have to, like, you know, you have to work toward that. But, you know, you have to pay attention to, you know, does she do this? Does she move right? Does she understand this and that and the other thing? And I'm sitting right next to him, but I'm watching a monitor the whole time.
Oh, God.
Because,
that's crazy.
Well, it's because people look different, two-dimensionally than they do three-dimensionally.
Right.
Just like you're getting photographed right now, I'm sure you're much more handsome on that picture than in real life.
Hope so. Let's all hope so.
And I know I do. That's why I can say that. But
okay, so what do you think about?
But it's really hard.
What do you think about entertainment? What do you think about entertainment? Being in the entertainment world from Phoenix rather than L.A.
My career took off when I moved there, and got divorced.
Speaking
to go back to the prior,
did that help?
Actually, I was thinking of when you said, would I have listened to myself? It depends on which haircut I had at the time, which Rob and Seth will attest to. But yeah, it took off when I went there, and just being, you know, I'm going to go to the beach and play volleyball with my friends, or I'm going to go to a bar and drink today, or whatever.
Right.
One of my best contacts I ever made, I was out in a bar in Los Angeles and met the girl who was head of special development for Warner Brothers.
Exactly.
And we became really good friends, and I wound up doing tons of stuff with her and then, you know, being connected to a million other people and
right.
so on and
that's
so on.
That's what I'm
that,
saying.
That rarely happens at Big Surf.
I actually just went to Big Surf about a month ago and had the best time ever.
Do you meet anyone in the business?
No.
I met
that's
unlikely.
The sub shop on College Street. Yeah.
I met
she
a couple
really
angry
cute.
Parents that were mad that I was out there on the raft with all the 10-year-olds.
Yeah, well, I could see
so
that.
But so was my brother, so I blamed him.
I could see that. I think that's exactly right. And like if you go over there to have a meeting, I mean, I've experienced this with, you know, writing projects. I'll go over there and I say, okay, I'm going to block off a couple of days and, you know, I have to have a couple meetings, you know, and that might be great. That's fine. What are the odds of that working out rather than if you had three meetings a week every week? You know, then things actually work out. You can't really just single shot these things and expect that they're going to work. It's not going to happen.
And you being a busy guy, know that sometimes it's like, hey, my schedule just changed. We were going to meet this morning, and you got called to another meeting.
Right.
But I was here, so I was.
Were you upset I blew you off for that?
Huh?
He actually, we were going to meet this morning. The governor called and wanted to meet with me, and I told him, and he said, I hope you told her that you were busy, and
like she has any idea.
I didn't tell her that. I went up. I dutifully went up and talked with her. Anyway, so, yeah. Well, Mark, I don't know. Yeah, I think if you would have moved over there, that would have been better.
You know what? I go over there a lot, and sometimes I'll go and spend a week and do all the things I kind of feel like I need to do. But, yeah, it's just one of those.
It's tough,
there's,
though.
There's actually another thing that happens. Like, I actually started directing here, doing, like, local commercials. Mm-hmm. And Rob knows. Rob and Seth both know. And, you know, I could hardly get arrested when I was here because I was just, like, some local yokel. Mm-hmm. But when I moved to Los Angeles, all of a sudden I was Art from Los Angeles, not from Phoenix. And I
so when you came back, it was a bigger deal.
Yeah, then it was.
Yeah,
cool.
Okay.
Now do you get arrested?
it's funny. It's like girls like me better when I come back here, mm-hmm. and because I'm like a guy from LA now.
Right,
you're
right.
Going to be around bugging him forever.
He's leaving Thursday. Cool.
There's probably a certain amount of truth to that. But I've gotten a lot more work overseas because of that, too.
Because you're from L.A.
Yeah, because I'm from L.A. If I would have been some guy from Phoenix, they would have been like, no, whatever.
Yeah, interesting.
So,
yeah, gives you some extra credibility,
yeah,
which is crazy when you think about it.
Yeah, the first time I shot in Russia, they were definitely like, so you're, like, I had a director of photography who was, he was Uzbeki, like, you know, where the Huns come from. In fact, he was scary as hell. He was like 5 feet tall. I was terrified of him. And he wanted to know, like, all the gang signs.
Oh, like, you? Yeah, okay. Did you know him?
I do know a few of them. Ice Cube taught me.
Really?
Ironically, yeah.
And is he the guy who's on Law and Order now or something? Or
is he? No, that's Ice-T. That's
Angels?
One of the different Ices.
Angels are going to win.
Did
this.
It happen?
Yeah,
oh,
we're,
God,
we got
please.
The game on. Angels
come on, come on.
Oh, thank
the game.
God.
Hallelujah.
Speaking of L.A.
Oh.
Yes. Yeah, I don't think the freeway series is going to happen after the pummeling last night.
Yeah,
no,
that was
they don't
awesome.
Final
like
score. I didn't see
11-0.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're taping on a Monday, so we're
touchdown, a 2-point conversion, and a field goal.
Yes,
is what the Phillies got.
Well, let's,
which isn't good in baseball.
Well, let's talk a little sports here because we had a big. Well, you got to join in on the NFL here because we had a big sports weekend here in Arizona, and it was all good stuff. And the Cardinals first. I'm. You remember we talked last week? A lot of people were writing them off, right? Mm-hmm. What did I say? Cardinals have a good the championship Cardinal team was in there. Last week it was in the first half, not the second half. But they were in there, and they emerged, I think.
They played a great game
Seattle.
Yesterday.
They played, I mean, they look like a Super Bowl team right there. I don't see what you could say anything negative about that performance. That
no.
was a domination.
I don't know that I've ever seen a team take the opening kickoff and eat up 11 minutes.
Unbelievable.
And go down and score. And then.
Then a pooch kick.
Then a pooch kick.
Fantastic.
And get the ball back again. The fans were out of the game.
It was over right then.
Mm-hmm. Right then.
Well, they looked over there,
awesome.
Yeah. Over there,
Hasselbeck.
Hasselbeck hadn't gotten the game.
Yeah.
And it's 14-0. It's fantastic. Yeah. So that was good. Arizona State. I don't
great
know.
Finish.
What a goofball team we got there
great
at Arizona
finish.
State.
Lucky as hell.
Yeah. Well,
team
I don't know what happened
pathetic.
There. What happened to the defense on that? There was, like, nobody around that guy. And it wasn't like everybody didn't know it was going to be pretty much the Hail Mary. Here's what I don't understand about Arizona State. One, I don't understand their quarterback still, despite he did throw a good throw there. But the other thing is we have a All-American kicker who missed the field goals, and the reason is because he has a groin injury. Now, if you have a groin injury, I'm no doctor, but kicking is probably not going to work, don't you think?
Two things aren't going to work. Kicking is tops, though.
Kicking will not work. So why is he even in there? I don't get that.
I've always said if you're going to pull a groin, make sure it's not your own.
It's worse to live by.
Yeah,
those are great. That's a great piece of advice. No, I mean, honestly, just don't even do it. Just go for the fourth down. A guy with a groin injury is not going to kick a field goal, I don't think.
Plus, don't you have a backup kicker?
Well, that yeah, but remember back on the game that
he's
they
no
should have won?
Yeah, he sucks.
When, what? Who was that?
The
we should have
freshman.
We should have beat
Georgia. Georgia, he blew it. Yeah, he must be really bad. That's like when I saw the Serbian team play the Suns in their first exhibition this year. They had a guy who's 7'4" on the team. He didn't start.
Yeah.
You're not that good. If in hoop you're 7'4"
and
you don't start,
start.
No skills.
There's a Dejas kid running around here.
That's Arizona.
Can't we find one?
That's Arizona, dude.
Like
we need one. We need a Zendejas, yeah.
We got,
everybody should have one.
Yeah, we had a Zendejas.
How many Zendejas has kicked?
All of them. They're like the Molinas. They
even
catch,
the
they kick.
Yeah.
He's like a grandson. Well, there's one.
Yeah,
yeah,
we want the grandkids. Bring them on.
Yeah.
Bring them on. Okay, and
I can't think of that that punter to kick. Like, why can't you just, you know, transfer the punter and say, all right, can you just get this through there? You can kick, right?
It won't work. It's a little different.
Yeah, well, it's but it's not as different as, you know, kick as throwing and
kicking. No. Like, well, yeah, I would think they
I mean,
could
train
something.
Somebody, right?
Yeah.
That Trevor Hankins
have the,
is a
don't have the guy with the groin
kid.
Pull is what I'm
yeah.
saying.
Yeah.
Okay, now we're going to go to one of my favorite subjects. And, Art, raise your hand if you want to get in on any of this. But my daughter now, who's six, she raises her hand on just about anything. If we're at the table, if we're just sitting around, if she's like, pick me, and she actually says, pick me. Even if I say something like, you know, a rhetorical question, it's like, pick me, like she has an answer. It's very funny. Okay, I don't know. Now we see that today, I think, on Monday, the as expected, the results of the Afghan election were... It showed that I think a third of this guy's votes were fraudulent, and so that's going to put him under the 50% mark. And so we don't know, and he's resisting that, so we don't know. He may not want to have a run-up. And so now the president, the question is, what's Obama going to do regarding more troops in Afghanistan? And he's going to wait now until we get this mess straightened out, because nobody wants to throw it into that situation. But let's just say we figure out something there so we can have some degree of confidence. I don't know. I'm not so sure we'll ever have much confidence. What will he do? We have predictions here from folks on what he will do. The choices are pull out. He said he won't do that. Send in 40 to 60,000 more troops, which is what the general wants. Don't, you know, go with the status quo and kind of keep doing what we're doing, or maybe shift over to this, what supposedly the vice president is advocating, which is more of a targeted approach, especially around the border. Or do we go back to the old surge thing that worked in Iraq and some people think will work in Afghanistan? So the president's got a lot of it's a big decision to make here, and once he makes this decision, this is going to be his war, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's no longer acceptable to push it off on George W. Bush. So I would.
What are the goals?
Well, you know, I think the biggest problem.
He needs to decide that, though.
Well, this is
because he's not going to win an insurgent war there unless he's prepared to lose 8 or 9 guys a day for years and years and years. I mean, Alexander the Great couldn't do it.
Well, it's been the great. Afghanistan is the graveyard of many great empires, and
nobody
could be ours as well. You
ever?
Know? No, and we're not going to. That's the problem. What is win? What are the goals? What I don't understand, frankly, about the Hawks is that they still don't learn the lessons that we should have learned a long time ago. And it's supposed to be the lessons we learned in Vietnam that we'll never forget, and that is the American public has to support your efforts. There has to be a clear and articulable goal, and then we have to understand then what victory is. And once it's achieved, then we get out.
Mistake.
Yeah, well, we seem to have thrown that out the window now. So I don't blame Obama for us being there. We wanted, I think the country was behind us being in there. He inherited this, but now he's got to make a decision. And it seems to me, if I had to guess, his decision is going to be pretty much to keep the same troop level or maybe add 10,000, 20,000, some small amount in order to try to do what he can in containment and to focus on the border. I think he's going to go more that direction than go the direction of the generals who on the ground who are saying we need a lot more troops there and we're going to do the surge. Because the surge
But to accomplish
probably
what?
Won't work.
To just keep fighting there forever and ever? I mean, what are our goals to win? Is it
our
to
goals
eradicate
are,
the Taliban
are, no.
and get them out?
Well,
or just like eliminate them to like 15 guys?
The goal is to keep things peaceful.
You know what I mean?
Keep things peaceful as much as you can, and keep Pakistan stable.
Sounds like an occupation.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, this is the problem. We go into all these places. Like, you know, let's go back to Korea. Let's go, and we can never leave because it isn't.
No.
It requires
and
our presence.
People don't support it because they don't know what's going on. And
well,
Pakistan's
exactly.
worse. I mean, they got one of their own military bases held up.
Yeah. Well, Pakistan is the problem. And that's why you got to keep your eye on the ball, and that's what we can't let go. That's why I don't think you can just pull out here. So I think we are going to have a presence, but I don't think the president's going to blindly go down this path that the generals want. And I will say, with all due respect to the surge advocates, and I think some of them are great, and I did support it in Iraq. Just because the generals come along and say that doesn't mean we have to do what they want. Many generals have made the wrong call over the years, and we do have a civilian government. So,
Grant, I'll tell you what my version of success there would be. And it's very simple. It's the same one that it was when George Bush started this thing 8 years ago. Get Osama bin Laden. You got a guy who killed 3,000 Americans. Get him and his cronies over there. You take them out and bring the folks home.
Bring them all simple. Home.
You know, there are a lot of people who think he's already dead.
He's not dead. What I can't figure out.
He may be dead. Who knows?
I don't think he is. What I can't figure out is why in the hell haven't we done a better job infiltrating Al Jazeera so that when he sends his monthly video, you know, hey, here I am.
Get the guy who's delivering it.
Can't we, like, follow him, put a little GPS on or something?
Get the cameraman.
You know.
It's not like Netflix. Kill the messenger, literally.
It's like you got to get it through. But
I don't know if that's going to solve it.
No, I know. But
killing the messenger.
No, but getting Osama bin Laden, that was the purpose for going there. Mm-hmm. Get him. This is a guy who killed 3,000 Americans. Let's get him. And then
Steve had an idea for me when I got elected attorney general. I don't know if I ever told you this. And he was very excited about it. And it was a crime stopper. And that was, you know, if you go into the post offices and you see those posters up there with all those guys and, you know, terrible criminals that are wanted, he said, next time when we're taking their pictures, just grab them.
Just keep them right there.
Yeah, just keep them right there. And I thought,
that's
okay.
Always made sense.
Today. Thanks, Steve. That's great. Great call there. So, same along the lines.
Sketch artist who's drawing the picture.
I'm putting that right next to when they deliver the tape to Al Jazeera, grab the guy.
Yeah. Where is he?
Yeah.
Where'd you pick this up?
Grab him or put one of those drones that follows him back to the cave in Afghanistan or wherever he is and go,
Why do you assume that some guy, like, delivers it to the television station?
What do you think they do? Call UPS and say,
cue the drone, people, would you please?
They strap it to a goat.
Yeah.
A trained goat.
Yeah, or a pigeon or something.
However they get it to him.
That's it.
If we're going to fight.
Top 10 most wanted. See, we should have just grabbed him right then when we had him.
If we're going to fight a war, I would just love, and I know you can't do this because you have to, I would love to fight a war so aggressively that we just win.
Mm-hmm.
In like a month.
Mm-hmm.
We used to.
Where you go in.
Wipe them out.
Part of the problem.
Well, we did that in Iraq.
An entire city.
Part of the problem now is.
But the media wasn't there to bitch at us about it.
Exactly. Now you'd see it on YouTube.
There were some repercussions for that one, too.
No, but look, it's not just that. We did that in Iraq. We wiped them out. That was the quickest war ever. We absolutely annihilated these guys. And then what?
Yeah.
That the problem was step two, where they were going to greet us as liberators and flowers and all that. That didn't work out. And so then you're stuck, and you say, okay, let's leave. And you leave, and then, you know, you have chaos again. That's part of the problem of leaving Afghanistan, by the way, is that, you know, what's going to happen to the women then? What's going to happen to the women then?
Oh, yeah, they're done.
We've urged them to.
That.
So it's a huge mess, and if nothing else, I think one thing that I'm counting on from the Obama administration is not to bumble into war again, or not to blindly go in unless we can get out. I don't think they will, but again, so that's one positive thing maybe. But right now he's got a real problem on his hands, the president. He's got to make the right call here.
Well, he needs to, you know, sorry, Steve. I'm new to this whole, like, micro. See, somebody needs to. I'm used to giving the orders. You know, everybody needs to know, A, why we're there, B, what the goals are, and C, how we're going to do it, one way or the other. But we also, I think, as a nation, sort of have to understand that there are people in the world that aren't like us.
Right.
You know, that don't drive, you know, hybrids and don't care. And you know what? Maybe some women like to wear burkas. I mean, it's not really for us to decide.
I like them.
They can be a good look.
We just hit you in a burqa.
Well, I don't know about that. They made that.
There's like this new form-fitting one, like a high bodice.
It's got its belt.
I know what you're saying, but I do believe that all people deserve freedom, and they deserve to at least know it and have that option available to them.
I agree, 100%.
But there are people there who don't think they need it because they don't know it. They haven't had that opportunity before. And some of these women may, I guess maybe they would choose that, but I doubt it.
Right? I agree with you. My wonder is, are we as a nation prepared to lose, 8 or 9 guys a day for years and years and years for their freedom? If we are, awesome. I mean, that's what I love about our country. We're a democracy. And if, the majority votes, let's go kick their ass. And if we lose, 8 or 9 guys a day, then we're happy they have their freedom. And if not,
then let's not do it. Once again, I'd like for it to be, let's personalize it. Do you want it to be, are you willing to have your son killed there for this? For what?
Yeah.
That changes the story there.
No,
most people say
easy answer.
No. Now, if you say, you go back to World War II and you say, if your son had to go, I think most everybody would say yes. That's okay.
Yeah.
No one likes it, but yes.
Because they're knocking on your door next.
Right. But in Iraq, in Afghanistan, where, who knows what the plan is here?
One thing I think is interesting now, for 8 years we heard that the world hates us because of George W. Bush.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are people around the globe that just hate us because we're American.
Oh, absolutely.
No doubt about that,
I hate the Yankees. I like a lot of their players, but I just hate that they're the biggest, most powerful by their team and all that.
Right.
And I don't care pick your favorite manager. I don't care if he was managing the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still going to pull for the Angels to beat the Yankees.
That's right.
I think that's the way this is with the country. People can like Obama, but I still think this notion of, now that he's in, everybody's going to love us again.
They're not going to love us. They're not going to love us, but two things. One is they can respect us.
I think our allies are going to respect us.
No, but even... No, but I think there's a lot of people in the gray area. There's a change because they can see the decline in arrogance that is demeaning directly to them, number one. And number two, they have to deal with the fact that we elected Obama. So, someone of mixed race, someone who, has Muslim in his background and in his family history, we elected him, and that's a fact, and they got to deal with that. So when you spread these myths about the United States, and they see Obama and the way he acts, and who he is. That's a powerful antidote to some of this hate-mongering.
They don't watch Fox.
Well, one mistake that we have always made, or not always, but sometimes have made as a country, is when we go to war and we go to these places, we think everyone wants to be like an American. And they may want part of what America's, but the Iraqis want to be like Iraqis.
Right.
The Germans want to be like Germans.
Exactly.
This type of thing.
Japan does.
Yeah, Japan wants to be
everybody,
like...
Everybody else... could care less.
Yeah, you're right.
And
they don't want to be exactly like us.
And that's where some of the arrogance comes from. People think, they're just trying to force us to be like an American. We don't want to be like an American.
And some of them don't want democracies. And that's been a very hard lesson for us to learn here because we think that's kind of an inherent right. I think their inherent right is for certain basic freedoms. But part of that freedom is the freedom to choose a different sort of government.
Mm-hmm.
And if they do, they do, and we can't worry about it. Or to choose leaders, if they're choosing them, who are repugnant to us.
It's weird. I've been traveling overseas now through, I think, this would be my fifth president, and both parties.
Mm-hmm.
I got in hell at parties no matter who was president. Everybody hated Clinton. Everybody hated both Bushes. We're the big kid on the block. We're the bully. Or that's what they perceive. The day Obama was elected, I got probably 50 emails from 10 or 12 different countries saying congratulations.
Mm.
It was the weirdest thing.
Yeah.
Because of that perception you mentioned.
Yeah.
Well, he's not part of the good old boy network, and he was the first one who wasn't. I mean, honestly, it might as well have been a woman because it was that big a departure
from
what we had.
That was probably reflected in the Nobel Peace Prize as well, that it was just a change. It was just a complete change. So they got to deal with that, and that's good, and especially in the Muslim world. Yes.
And let me throw one other thing out, too, that has changed in the last 20 years. It used to be the United States or the Soviet Union, the two superpowers. You basically chose one side or another. We're now the world's superpower, if you will. You can argue China is, if you want.
No,
but we're what everybody looks up to. So they're either going to love us or hate us. There is no other side for them to go to. So if the other side is, I'm just going to be anti-American, they're going to be anti-American.
And a lot of people hate us until they need us.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
it's
all
like
of
the
them.
Cops.
Oh, absolutely.
Who else shows up?
You know, it's Iverson. He used to talk all that shit about the cops. And then when his house got broken into that time, now every year Iverson has charity fundraisers for the cops in Philly. Mm-hmm.
Right.
You know, it's funny how that works.
Yeah.
Well, it's also like a lot of people, on the right, I will say, very concerned about the Second Amendment, not so concerned about the Fourth Amendment, the Fifth Amendment, First Amendment, but they're very concerned about them if they happen to get arrested or they get charged with a crime. Oh, wait, where's my rights? They're really in there now on the Fourth and Fifth Amendment. All of a sudden they're important. Rather than you would think maybe take the higher road, and that is we like all the amendments. We're for all of them, not just the second. We like them all.
I think you'll agree that freedom's just another word for nothing left to lose.
Thank you. Thank you, Chris, for cribbing that line from Chris, by the way.
I thought I've heard that somewhere before.
I recommend his new album. It's great. Pick it up. Go to iTunes. Chris Gustafson, 73 years old, still
a
fantastic poet and one of the greats. Now, this guy is not so great, so we have to do the Woody here before we go. He says, yeah, I know. We're just... You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Where's
ready.
Woody? Okay.
There he is.
Okay. You got that?
Tall and proud.
Okay. Tall and proud. Carrie holds the Woody every week for us. So we appreciate you doing that. Today's Woody goes to Balloon Boy father Richard Heen. Much of the country was glued to the television last week as we watched the saga unfold of the poor little boy who was cast adrift in the basket of a hot air balloon. It was compelling stuff with lots of mysteries to resolve. Where was the boy? How could we get him down? What if he fell out? What if it crashed? And, of course, how did this happen? Was he going back to Kansas and the rope unwound before Dorothy and Toto could get back in? Or what the heck happened here? It was really good stuff, great television, except it really wasn't good stuff. It was bad stuff, all fake, all lame. The kid turns out to be a little dude named Falcon, who crested in the attic where he was hiding, not the stratosphere. The whole thing was dreamed up to get attention by his idiot dad, Richard Heen, who was so overwhelmed by his 15 minutes of fame on a show called Wife Swap that he would do anything to attract attention again. Wife Swap, if you haven't seen this, is a TV... I actually have seen this show a couple times.
Some people win, some people
lose. It's a TV show that takes an uptight wife from a rigid family and whipped husband and places her in a family with a bunch of wild and crazy kids and usually a slob, redneck, or just plain crazy husband. Redneck slob wife goes to the other house, and generally everybody learns some sort of lesson from the whole thing, like maybe I should be reading more books instead of watching this shit. Now, Richard Heen was in the crazy category, a guy who regularly put himself and his kids in harm's way by looking for aliens while chasing dangerous storms. Nice hobby. The balloon in this caper looked like a junior high version of an alien spaceship, and the whole thing did attract enormous attention and scrutiny, unfortunately. CNN, based in Atlanta, got the scoop when the littlest Falcon blurted out through Larry King's Miracle Ear that the whole thing was a hoax for the show. Any show. Then the little Lightyear wannabe told Meredith Vieira the same thing on the Today Show and promptly barfed up his twang. Dang, I don't know if you saw that, but that was lovely.
Good TV.
See him barfing. The dad here, complete loser. He's going to get charged with something, probably false reporting. At least he should get the charge for all the money he was wasting while we pursued his dumb hoax. For exploiting his own kid and the rest of us, for the glory of being on Wife Swap for the third time, two just isn't enough. Richard Heen gets the Woody.
Woo.
There. What do you think of Richard Heen?
What a loser.
Yeah, he's weak.
Toward the end, I was hoping the kid was in it.
Yeah.
Like, I want there to be some payoff.
Yeah, I wanted him to be in it.
It's like when you're going down the 101 and there's a 20-minute backup, and you get up there and there's like a shoe in the road.
No, what, do you want to see a rack?
I want to see a dismemberment.
Oh, my God.
Don't even go there.
Yeah, Mr. Drowning, Mr. Feeling.
Steve has told us.
Yeah,
you do.
Be a payoff.
You waited all that time.
Yeah.
Beheaded.
Would have been had he been in there.
Well, you know, I swear I walked an hour into this thing, and I'm like, you know what, this is bogus.
You did. You thought it was bogus.
Well, yeah. How convenient do you have the camcorder rolling as the thing takes up off the ground, you know.
Well, and you know
hey,
what?
Hey, wait, come back. Or
and you know what else yeah, I thought is true. Anybody who's worked in a newsroom would have called it because I was watching it. Somebody called me and said, oh, my God, you're never going to believe this. So I turned it on and I thought, all right, give me 10 minutes to find the parents. And then I'll know a lot more information.
Right.
But they didn't know anything. They didn't know shit. They were asking stupid questions
right.
like, which kid is it? And I'm thinking, somebody's got to have those parents. And if they don't have those parents, there's a problem.
Yeah.
You know
true.
What I mean? This
mm-hmm.
is not a big tip. Fort Collins, please.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get from one side or the other to in
right.
5 minutes. So you find the parents. You say, which kid is in the balloon? Show me your other kids. That's it. Then you know that they're full of shit because nobody knew anything.
You separate the kids. You crack those kids down. I've seen 48 Hours.
Yeah.
I know
yeah.
how you break them down.
How about
your little brother is right now? He's in the attic with the Zagnut
hey.
Bar.
We did it for a TV show.
Falcon.
Put mommy on wife swap.
Falcon gave it up when Larry King was grilling him.
Yeah.
He hasn't got a confession out of anybody.
Falcon, go.
Actually, it was Wolf Blitzer filling in for Larry King, but it was on Larry King Live. I feel bad for the family.
To memorize Larry King's
no,
schedule.
It's because Larry
Has
King
Has the View talked about it?
No.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Larry's show always does a lot of stuff. But the one I feel badly for is the family who owns that wheat field where the saucer crashed because it destroyed their entire wheat crop. So they're out like $30,000.
Isn't the wheat been picked?
And no, it's supposed to be harvested now or something. And apparently it only grows like every other year. So the next time it can
yeah,
come back,
you
gotta it's 2011.
Pay them. Yeah,
see, this is a news guy. He's working on tomorrow's story.
Yeah. Here's a follow-up
Let's
story.
Let's advance the story.
One of the charges is falsifying reports, too.
I think they will get charged with that.
I want
sure.
them to pay for all that.
Everything.
Helicopters.
Absolutely. Yes, yes.
You know, contacting NORAD.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
me, damages
Everything.
For having to watch CNN for an hour and a half while we waited.
Exactly.
yeah, stupid woman
right.
in the middle of the day. What is her name? God, as they all sit around trying to think of good questions to ask about the floating boy. How hard
no,
is that?
Bad. The whole
oh,
thing is
my
bad.
God.
Yeah, the guy's a loser.
yeah.
But have you ever seen Wife Swap?
Oh, yeah. I love that
yeah.
show.
Oh, God.
Well, it makes you feel better about your life.
There was, yeah, no, that's true. That's
like,
what,
normally you have to go to Walmart to get that kind of endorphin high.
That's what our friend Charles Barkley
that's
said.
That's where they
when
get most of the
when
wives.
When he felt bad about himself, he would turn on Jerry Springer and he'd say, you know, my life's all right.
He's like, I'm not that fat.
yeah, not that bad, yeah.
And then the view.
Hey.
And
yeah.
then the
yeah.
view.
We saw, we were with Charles Friday night and... He hasn't really. He's in a little better shape, I think.
Did
he's
you guys
getting
see
himself back in shape and everything? You know, great. She looks great, as usual. Mo looks great, but Charles not playing golf.
He's
probably
done.
Good
after the Haney.
The
project.
Golf world thanks you.
Wow. Yeah. After that whole thing, but it looked like wow. if you saw the first couple episodes, the Haney Project looks like it was gonna. He's got his act together. It's gonna be good, and it's just
he
not working.
He didn't look at the ball. He was really good.
It's a mental. It's all mental.
Yeah. Oh my God!
Did you guys see?
Obviously,
right?
he's a great
well, just
athlete.
Unbelievable that a guy can walk out in an auditorium full of 22,000 people, hoisting up threes.
Yeah. Do whatever.
Put everything on the line.
Right.
But put him
ball
over a little ball that's not moving.
Right. And he does the hitch.
And he does the total
Double
meltdown.
Hitch.
Yeah, I know. I know.
It's unbelievable.
It's. I think it's still there.
That's
sure.
what tells you how tough golf is. Because it really is.
I don't know. This is just. It's just
I mean,
a weird
just
deal he's got
mental.
Going. You know?
Yeah.
I don't know what's
There's
going on.
There's no weed in that field. There was no weed in that field.
No, where
yeah,
all the trucks
killing.
Are going
oh,
through
okay.
to chase after
Jeez.
The thing.
Look at that
Did you guys see NFL, the Fox NFL Sunday show yesterday, Frank Caliendo with the impersonation of Charles Barkley?
You know, how was that?
Shaq?
Yeah, Shaq.
Was it good?
It's
oh,
terrible. I'm telling you, it's terrible.
Was it good?
Shaq is probably pissed if he saw that.
Oh, I'm sure
really?
He is.
Harry Spears, and he's got that crossed eye.
Oh, no.
Oh, it's just, it's
picking on that?
YouTube it.
Yeah. Okay, really?
It's
that good?
I DVR'd
it's terrible.
Honey, get in here and watch this.
Oh,
I watched
really?
Like three times.
Okay, I'll check
terrible.
It out.
Terrible.
I'll check it out.
Talking about the Jets being bad.
That's clean.
Welcome back,
okay.
Jets.
Are we, I think we're done. I think that's a show. What do you think? Carrie,
is that a show?
That's a show.
That's a show.
God. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Christian Bale was just heard from. That's funny.